Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I'd like to read from Psalms 139, the 139th Psalm. Begin reading with verse 7 and reading through verse 16. David is talking about that God knows everything about him. God knows when he lies down. God knows when he wakes up. God knows his thoughts before he ever even thinks his thoughts. God knows his thoughts afar off. Everywhere David goes, God is already there. He talks about how wonderful it is for God to know so much about him, because God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Reading now from Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7, the Word of God says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." I want you to begin to think very carefully as he's talked about various places that he could never go to get away from God. God's always going to be there. He then goes right into the mother's womb. We have several ladies here this morning that have babies in their wombs right now. And that's what David begins to talk about, is that God was right there forming him in his mother's womb. It's a marvelous thing. Now, we have sonograms and things today where we can get images of babies, and it's a marvelous and a wonderful thing. We didn't know when our children were born. We didn't know whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. We didn't have things like that. But now you can usually tell, long before the baby is born. But God knows from the moment of conception. I'm going to back it up. God knew from even before the foundation of the world. And David begins to talk about him in his mother's womb here in verse 13. He says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I want you to remember those words there. David was made. He was not made by his parents. He wasn't made by someone else. He was made by God. He says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." David says in the 100th Psalm, and verse 3, he says, "It is God that hath made us." You're not a self-made individual. I hear people sometimes say, "Well, you know, that's a self-made man." You didn't even make yourself in the womb. Yeah. It is God that hath made us. God is the one that deserves all the glory for anything that we ever accomplish in our lives. Everything that we've ever done that's good, it's because God gave us the ability and the desire and the strength and the intelligence. God gave us all of those things. So the only reason that we've ever been able to do anything good in our lives is because God made us in our mother's womb, and God brought us forth from our mother's womb. That's scripture. And God has carried us all the days of our lives. "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." These babies that are in their womb, their mother's wombs this morning, they're being made by God. They're being formed by God. Their little fingers and their toes and their heart, their circulatory system and their respiratory system and skeletal system and nervous system and all the parts of their body, God is forming them right now. It's a marvelous thing. "I am fearfully," David says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Every part of the body, every system of the body, it's amazing how the body works. It's amazing how the eye works. There is no creation except what God created. Now, men take things and they make things and they change the form of things, but God is the only creator. And there's nothing that man has ever made that even compares just to the eyeball. There's no computer that is as complex as the eyeball is. And the brain, and the heart. There's nothing that man has ever made that is like or as good as any part of what God has made in your body. God made you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. We ought to marvel at the works of God. These babies being born, I still don't understand. I can tell you biologically, I can tell you from a biological standpoint how a baby can go from being inside a mother's womb and in that water to outside and breathing, but I still don't understand that. That's an amazing thing. That baby will be in the mother's womb, in that fluid, and getting the oxygen through the umbilical cord, and you cut the umbilical cord and they start breathing. That's amazing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Brethren, if you don't know God made you, you don't know a lot about the works of God. If you don't know God created this earth, you don't know a lot about the works of God. Marvelous are his works. The creation of this world is a marvelous work of God. But I was thinking last night, I don't know that the creation of this world is as marvelous as the birth of a human being. Because the birth of a human being is something that's alive. The earth was just God said, let there be light. And then God began to create all the different things, the sun and the moon and the stars and the plants and all those other things. And finally he made man. But I'll tell you, brethren, when God made man from the dust of the earth and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, that was a marvelous work. But I still don't think even that creation of man in the Garden of Eden or prior to the Garden of Eden, I don't think God creating Adam, I don't think that's as great as it may be. I'm just saying in my mind, I think it's more marvelous the way God brought you and made you in your mother's womb. That's a marvelous work of God. And we need to marvel at his works. We need to praise him for his works. We need to thank him for his works. We need to glorify him for his works. He says, these are marvelous works of God. He says, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know, some people don't know a lot of things, but it's mainly because they hadn't read and studied the Bible. But there are a lot of things you can know about God. And I know some things about God because the Bible tells me a lot of things about God. And one of the things I know is that every single baby in the mother's womb, God put that baby there. Every single baby that's in the mother's womb, God is there forming that baby. And let me say very quickly, if you're a Christian, you ought not to call it a fetus. You ought not to call it a fetus. You ought not to call it anything except what the Bible calls. An unborn baby is called a baby, B-A-B-Y, a babe. An unborn baby is called a child. It's a child. We mentioned Brother Foster and Sister Maggie. Do you know what they always called a woman was with what? A woman was with child. The word pregnant was never used back in that generation. Never, never. When I was a boy, that was a word that you did not use. You always said it was with child. A woman's with child. Why? Because that gives glory to God. That's declaring God put that child there. God is forming that child. Now, and let me say this. We talk about age from the time a person's born. That's not when a person's life began. You're actually 9 months, most of you are around 9 months older than what you think you are. Because the Word of God makes it very plain that life begins at conception. So you're actually older than you think you are. Because you began before you were born. God was making you in your mother's womb. And God called you a baby, and you and I ought to call each other babies. That's with child. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew. I want you to see. You should never take my word for anything unless I can give you thus saith the Lord. But when I give you thus saith the Lord, you better believe what God's word says. Not me, but believe what God says. Matthew chapter 1, listen please to verse 18. As the angel comes to Joseph, he tells Joseph what Mary has in her. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus, this is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found, what are the next two words there? She was found what? With child of the Holy Ghost. Brethren, that was the most amazing conception that has ever taken place. It was different than any other conception. Never has been one before that, never be another one after that. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. The Holy Ghost came upon her, and a child was conceived in her. And that was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. And that's when Jesus's natural life began. That wasn't the beginning of Jesus. Jesus was way back there in the beginning of the world. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was way back there in the beginning of this world. But there was a conception, there was a human being that was conceived in the womb of Mary, and that was a child. A baby. Verse 23, still in Matthew 1, verse 23, the Word of God says, behold, a virgin shall, and let me tell you this, there's some books that are called Bibles, and they're not Bibles today, that in the Old Testament where prophecy is made about the coming of Jesus, that in Isaiah the Word of God says, behold, I give you a sign, a virgin shall bring forth a child. I'm telling you, brethren, there are books written today that are called Bibles that say, a young woman shall bring forth a child. The Word of God says it was a virgin. There's a big difference in just a young woman and a virgin. That's no sign for a young woman to bring forth a child. Plenty of young women bring forth children. But a virgin bringing forth a child, now that's a sign unto you. Now the Word of God says in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. A virgin shall be what? With child. Turn to Luke chapter 1, and you'll see the Word of God calls it a babe. A B-A-B-E, a B-A, we call it B-A-B-Y, B-A-B-E. A baby. It's a baby. In Luke chapter 1, verse 41, Luke 1:41, the Word of God talks about when Mary and Elizabeth came together and they were both with child. And the Word of God talks about how John the Baptist was in Elizabeth. That baby, John the Baptist, was in Elizabeth and Jesus was in Mary. And those two cousins came together. And the Word of God says in Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 41, Luke 1, verse 41, the word, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, the what? The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Isn't that a beautiful thought? This past Sunday night, Brother Joshua and Sister Macy sang a special. Now, their little baby heard that song. You might not think that, but babies in the womb, they hear. That's taught here in this verse. Mary and Elizabeth were talking, and John the Baptist heard what was said about Jesus being in Mary. And that babe understood, and that babe felt something, and the Bible says the babe leaped for joy. Were there emotions in that child, though the baby was not yet born? Absolutely. I think babies sometimes hear terrible things going on. I think babies hear music often while they're in their mother's womb that they ought not to hear. I think babies often hear mothers and daddies hollering and screaming at each other while they're still in the mother's womb. They ought not to hear that. They ought to hear the things of God. Let me hasten to say, I want to get to the subject of abortion. And the reason I must address this is that abortion is one of the most horrible things that has ever taken place on the face of this earth. The killing of unborn children has been legalized in the United States of America. And when we legalized that, and some people say, well, there were women that died before abortion was legalized. They died because their lives were in danger and nothing could be done. That's a lie. You go back and study history, anytime a mother's life was in danger before 1973, the mother's life was always spared. Do you understand that? You don't have to kill babies to save mothers. It's less than 1% of abortions that ever take place because a mother's life is in danger. We're killing 99% of those babies. It's pure murder, killing of those babies. And sometimes a woman will say, it's my body. I can do with it as I please. Let me tell you something. That's not even your body. Your body doesn't belong to you. Your body belongs to God. The Bible makes it plain that Jesus has redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit. Your body belongs to God. It's not your body to begin with, number one. Number two, that baby in your body is not your body. That's another human being. And that baby in your body, you don't have the right to kill that baby. Nor does any other person have the right to kill that baby. You have no more right to kill that baby that's in your womb that you're carrying than you do after the baby's born, and you just throw it down on the ground and say, well, it's my baby. I can do with it as I please. No, you don't have the right to do that. You can't do with it as you please. That's a child. And when we begin to recognize the child in the womb is really a baby and a child, we'll stop this foolish thinking, this devilish thinking, that's a woman. No, that's not the woman. That's a separate human being in that woman. Now, another reason that sometimes people have abortions is they say, well, the child is afflicted in some way. Now, I want everybody here to remember we started out in Psalm 39. Who was it that was forming those babies in the mother's womb? God formed it. Now, if a baby, and you might not like this, but I want you to follow it carefully. If a baby is afflicted in some way, God has a purpose in that baby anyway. Did you know there's not a one of you that's perfect? Not a one of you. If every afflicted child was killed, you would be killed. We're all afflicted in various capacities. Some more than others, but either way, God has a purpose in every one of those lives. Look in your Bibles in John chapter 9. Turn in your Bibles. I want you to see that a child being afflicted or in any way having a physical problem, that's not a reason to kill that child. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. If you'll listen carefully, you'll see that a child that is formed in the mother's womb that has afflictions, it was still God that formed that child. It was not an accident. God didn't make an accident. God didn't have an accident. Something didn't happen that surprised God. God formed that baby just the way it's formed. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Did you know there are people that kill their babies when they find out they're blind or they have other kinds of afflictions like that? Here was a child that was blind from his birth. Verse 2 says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's one of the most ridiculous questions I've ever heard in my life. Now, how could the man sin and be born blind? Did everybody understand that? They said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Now, they were sinners. I'm not saying they weren't sinners. Jesus wasn't saying they weren't sinners. But that didn't cause his problem. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God was going to take that child that was born blind, and God was going to heal that child. But whether God heals a person that has an affliction when they're born or not, God still uses that child in his way to accomplish his purpose in their lives and in the lives of many other people. I've had many friends that had children with Down syndrome, is what we always used to call it. That may not be the politically correct term today, but I'm telling you, I've had many parents that have had children that were born afflicted, and they loved their children anyway. I'm going to tell you, the most angelic children I've ever known in my life had some afflictions. Those children that I've known, and I've baptized some children that had Down syndrome, those are the most angelic human beings I've ever known in my life. God has a purpose in them. They may be the ones that are right, and all the rest of us are wrong. God had a purpose in this child being born blind. God has a purpose in every child. Moses, back up in your Bibles very quickly to Exodus chapter 4. Did God use Moses? Did God use Moses? What did God use Moses to do? What did Moses do? Lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Was that a big job? And listen, brethren, Moses had a big job to do, and he didn't feel like he could do it. He didn't feel capable of doing the job. The main reason he didn't feel capable of doing it is because he had a speech impediment. He was born with a problem about talking. In Exodus chapter 4, listen to verse 10. Who made that mistake when he was born with a speech impediment? Who made that mistake? It was no mistake. There was no mistake in Moses having a speech impediment. God had a purpose in it. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? You hear the question God asked Moses? See, Moses said, I've got this speech problem. And God said, Who made your mouth? Who what? Who made your mouth? Who made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord who made them all? No matter what the problems are, God made them. You don't have the right to kill any of them. It's murder to kill any of them. All through the scriptures, we need to understand God had a purpose in all these different people's lives, and God has a purpose in every one of your lives. Now, let's talk just a moment about killing a human being. Look in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 9. Did you know that there's a major difference in human beings and whales and birds and animals and dogs and cats and all the other animals? There's a major difference in man and all the other animals of this earth. There's a major difference in man and the trees and the flowers and the plants. There's a major difference in man. We are as insane as a nation when we're protecting unborn eagles that are in their eggs. We protect them and we fine people and we put people in prison if they mess with an unborn eagle, and we turn around and legalize the killing of children. Brethren, we are insane as a nation. We worry about whales and we worry about, and we spend millions of dollars trying to, here's one beach and whales and sharks that beats themselves, and we're trying to save them all, but thousands of children are being killed and we never open our mouths. What's wrong with me and you if we're more concerned about animals and birds and plants and trees, if we're more concerned about that than we are about human beings? Something's wrong with our thinking. Because man, different than anything else that God created, man is made in God's image. Nothing else, no other animals, nothing else was made in God's image except man. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, the Word of God explains why, when a man kills another man, that man who killed him is to be put to death. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, the Word of God says, Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. How did God make man? In his own image. That's taught in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis 2, that God made man in his own image. You're different. You're different than any other animal on the face of this earth. Killing another human being requires the death penalty. Death penalty is not changed. Go with me in your Bibles to turn to Exodus chapter 21 just a moment. Exodus chapter 21, listen please, to verse 12 to begin with. Exodus 21, verse 12. We're talking about the importance of human life. Everybody here, not just talking about the sanctity of life in general. We're talking about the sanctity of human life. We're talking about the difference and the elevation that God has made between a man and all the animals of the earth. In fact, God gave man dominion over all the things in the world. Man has a position given to him by God. He was made by God. He gave him a position. Exodus chapter 21, verse 12, the Word of God says in Exodus 21 and verse 12, He that smiteth a man so that he die, he shall be surely put to death. In other words, if I pull out a pistol and shoot you, then I'm to be put to death. I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm talking about me angry and in a fit of rage, I murder you. That's what I'm talking about killing, is murdering. When I murder you, I'm to be put to death. Come down to verses 22 and 23, a very important point. If men strive, let's say me and Brother Brooks are fighting. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, there's Sister Jessica standing there beside us, and she tries to stop the fight. Everybody follow this? If men strive and hurt a woman with child, is Sister Jessica with child? And me and Brooks, her husband, are fighting, and she tries to interfere, and she's hurt so that her fruit depart from her. What's her fruit that depart from her? Her child, her babe, her fruit. And yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. In other words, if the baby comes forth, but the baby is not hurt and the baby lives, then I'm still to be fined, but I'm not to be put to death. Verse 23 says, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. If that baby that comes forth and dies because me and Brother Brooks are fighting, I'm to be put to death. Does everybody follow that? Why? Not because I killed Brother Brooks, but because I killed another person. I killed a baby. I killed an innocent child. Go with me in your Bibles very quickly in closing to Psalm 94. Please look in your Bibles at Psalm 94. Listen, please. Everybody listen. You may say, I remember the first time that I asked Brother Robert Varn to speak at a nursing home. Some of you know Brother Robert Varn's whole life revolves around trying to save the lives of unborn children. First time I asked him to speak at Riverside Nursing Home, on the way over there, I thought, oh my goodness, I bet he's going to speak on abortion, because that's all he ever speaks about is abortion. So he got up there, and that's what he started out. He said, now, I know none of y'all are going to have an abortion today. These are people in the nursing home. You understand the situation. I thought, gosh, this is not appropriate. But he made it very clear it is appropriate. He said, though none of you may, and no, none of you will be having an abortion, you've got children, and you've got grandchildren, you've got granddaughters, and you've got grandsons, and you need to be sure that they understand what God's Word says about the sanctity of human life. And when he finished, brethren, if they didn't understand how important the lives of baby were, you weren't listening. Do you follow me? There was a purpose in him. There's a purpose in everybody here. You're accountable to God to be sure that people know what they're doing is wrong. A lot of people don't know it's wrong. And they don't know it's wrong because the church and parents and grandparents have not made it clear. And it's up to you to make it clear. Psalm 94, listen to verses 20 and 21. I want to talk to you just briefly about our nation making a law to legalize abortion. In Psalm 94, verses 20 and 21, the Word of God says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? That's a question that's made. A throne of iniquity. Shall a throne of iniquity. Name a throne of iniquity in the Old Testament. Ahab and Jezebel, okay? That would be a throne of iniquity, Ahab and Jezebel. Shall a throne of iniquity have fellowship with God? Did Ahab and Jezebel have fellowship with God? No, why not? Because God will not have fellowship with iniquity. Shall a throne of iniquity have fellowship with God, which frameth mischief by a law? That is, a throne of iniquity frames mischief by a law. I'm going to say that one more time. A throne of iniquity frames mischief by a law. Do you remember what that man did to that woman back there in Exodus chapter 21? You know what followed? Mischief followed. You know what we have formed by legalizing abortion in America? We have formed mischief. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with God when the throne of iniquity frameth mischief by law? We framed mischief by law, made it legal. We've made a lot of things legal since then, framing mischief by law. Rather than our government, God has no fellowship with evil governments. God has no fellowship with iniquity. Verse 21 says, they gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. How do they condemn that innocent blood? By forming mischief by law. Oh, brethren, our nation has to answer for over 50 million babies being murdered. Did you know, do you know about how many babies, let's say you've got five women with child in America, five women with child, did you know at least one out of five women that are with child will kill their babies. Did everybody hear what I just said? That's the abortion rate in America today, is one out of five women that are with child is going to kill that baby, at least. Many reports one out of three, but it's at least one out of five. Do you know the most dangerous place in this world to be? It's not in China. It's not in Russia. The most dangerous place in this entire earth to be is in the womb of a woman in America, because that's the highest death rate in all the world. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.